This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, our boy Paulie, a.k.a. Bald Rindle, is he's suffering for his art this morning.
If you're just joining us, so it's Halloween. Paulie's dressed in a Georgia polo, red Georgia polo. Mm-hmm. And
jeans.
A bald cap.
Jeans. Jeans sent me.
You can't see the jeans on the YouTube feed, but yeah, slightly.
Bro, I haven't worn jeans in, I don't think, since before the pandemic.
Well,
he's dressed as our boss, Adam.
Yeah, Kluger, our boss, when it's like a big meeting day here, he will wear his, like Michael Scott in The Office, he'll wear his fancy jeans. His fun jeans.
Hang on. Now I'm really committing to the bit.
Oh, now because
I sunk my chair down about.
I can't see you
6 inches.
Because that when he fills in, that's all I can see. I look over and I'm so used to seeing Paulie, he's a Hulk, and I look over and all I see is the top of Adam's head, and so now I'm getting the full experience. Benny is dressed as Higtua, and he's got a shirt on that says In-N-Out Automotive. You are a lubrication expert. And then your t-shirt says "Hawk to a spit on that thing," and then your hat is
Hawk to it.
Your hat is rock hard caulking,
which is very fitting when we talked about caulking
last week. And I'm dressed as the R.I.P. Bozo meme.
But you look kind of like a Blues Brother.
I don't want to be a Blues Brother.
You got a lot of Men in Black.
I got some of that. I would like to be Patrick Bateman, also from American Psycho. But yeah, that's the costume. I have an overcoat. It's 75 pounds. I can't wear it. It's hotter than fish grease. I cannot wear it for the direct. I'm not suffering from
my
heart.
Is that a coat that you already had in your closet?
No.
No, you had to.
And this shirt and this tie. I spent way too much money for a one-second picture that's going to go up later side by side.
I mean, I would say, well, you have a nice winter coat now to wear, but
it's 60 degrees here in the winter.
It's tough in San Diego to ever really need a winter coat.
Had to if you go to like Denver or Utah or something this winter, you'll be in great shape.
Let's see. I'm going to Vegas in March. I'm going to Hawaii in August.
Philly in July. I don't know. Maybe Manchester, England in July is still somewhat chilly. I have no idea.
But. Nor do I. I think it's supposed to be nice. I actually had the convo. I'm going to Texas in for Christmas, and it could be chilly there. But I told my wife, I go, well, I'll just wear it, and then I'll put it in the overhead on the plane. And she said, you're an idiot. I said, well, I can't pack it because it literally would. They'd be like, this bag is 150 pounds. It's so heavy and thick. That I can't wear it. I'm not suffering from my art.
One of the best things about Halloween is that it finally ends Halloween month of October.
Yeah.
And we don't have to talk about scary good deals or
the spooktacular celebration.
Spooktacular celebrations anymore. We can move on after today into a different month and a different holiday season. And on our Throwback Thursday, and this was last year, right, Paulie?
Yeah, this was a couple days before Halloween, probably.
So
last
we have an ad executive here, M. Peter, who has given us some questionable copy instructions in the past when he says, "Hey, okay, here's what you're supposed to talk about, but make it your own."
It's questionable, but it's predictable.
It's predictable.
He loves a theme. A man loves a holiday theme.
Yeah, make it your own. But in the month of October, it's always. Make it spooky.
Yeah, make it spooky.
Which is not really easy to do
next
when you're
month,
talking
it'll be,
about.
You know, add some turkey noises, maybe.
Hey, come on down to Sedano 4.
Hey, make it jolly.
Make it jolly. Yeah, and you know, listen, I don't know. I've been doing advertising. I've sold advertising. I don't know how many more cars I could help you move by making a spooky commercial. You want to make your commercials memorable. I get that.
I do. But I think the best way to sell things is to have a genuine appreciation for the product
Correct.
You're talking about
yeah.
and give your honest opinion about it.
Yeah.
Why you like that certain, you know, goods or service
Correct.
That you are selling. And I think for the most part, we're good at that.
I think so too.
You're genuinely talking about EcoWater,
Ugh,
7 Mile Casino, Prize Picks, whatever
yes.
it is. And, you know, genuinely, when it comes to Sedano Ford, you love Fords. You are an absolute giant Ford family.
Ford family. We have been our whole
So
life.
It's an easy sell for you. But making it spooky is not necessarily the most fun part of the job. So you guys decided to take it to the nth degree. What does it really sound like?
This was last year, yeah.
To make a spooky Sedano Ford commercial.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
Hello, my pretties. It's Woodsy here. Don't miss the Halloween spectacular from my friends at Sedano Ford this Saturday, October 28th, from noon to 2.
Sedano Ford.
I'll be there with the 97.3 The Fan Street Team.
Behind you.
Along with many other local radio and TV stations. Giving out prizes, concert, and amusement park tickets.
I am right behind you.
And of course, tons and tons of candy. Bring the family. Don't miss the spooktacular celebration at Sedano Ford in La Mesa from noon to 2.
Sedano Ford.
This Saturday, October 28th. I'll see you there.
If you don't come play with me, then we will kill you.
We'll check them out online as well. SedanoFord.com. SedanoFord.com. Let them know what's it. 97.3 The Fan sent you.
If you don't come play with us, we will kill you. There's nothing better than that line.
If you don't come play with me, then we will kill you.
It's unbelievable.
It's direct and to the point.
Where did you find usually that? What's that from?
Usually horror is about creating that scariness in your mind. They just get right down to it. Brass tacks here.
Come down here, buy a car. I will kill you if you don't. Now that is how you sell a car.
Yeah.
You buy this car or I will kill you. I'm sold. I'm in. I'll take the new Bronco. I love it. It's so good.
A little coercion involved there.
I've been wanting one anyway, so I figure this is a really good time to do it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So that was one of our favorite Halloween moments.
You wanted spooky.
You got it.
You got spooky.
It was so elite. Now, the funny part is they loved it. They thought it was great. And that's the thing. When you run the risk, when you do it, you know next year they're going to go, hey, do what you did last year.
I made it extremely clear. This is never happening again.
This is a one-off.
That took me hours to put together.
It was so much work.
What, you don't have something better to do, Paulie? Right. Can't spend hours on every Sedano spot every single time?
It was worth it. Just like to start the segment, you said I was going through it. This bald cap is tight.
That's what I was wondering. Is it tight?
I have taken some ibuprofen already before the show started.
Take it off. It's fine.
I can't. I'm committed.
You can.
I have a bald cap
here
underneath.
We have an extra Hawk to a hat.
Maybe I'll just wear this.
Wear this. Well, just that. Now you could be Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona.
Now you look like a lunch lady.
Yeah,
with the hairnet.
Lunch lady.
Yeah, right.
We need a contestant. I got a Halloween-themed edition of Real or Fake for you.
Oh, nice.
Call in now. You don't need any musical knowledge for a chance to win tickets to the San Diego State basketball opener next Wednesday. Phone lines are open right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you want to play our game, have that opportunity. We'll talk a little Aztecs basketball a little bit later on as well. They did win last night, a non-televised game, exhibition game against Cal State San Marcos.
God, you set the line.
80-39.
I set the line at 27.5. I said that's a lot of points. They're figuring stuff out.
They looked good, actually. I had the highlights. I went through and watched a little bit of it last night before I went home. And again, I don't know that you can ever say a win over a Division II team in an exhibition game is impressive. You did what you're supposed to do, but both sides of the ball, they look pretty sharp for, you know, October 30th.
I mean, in college football, you get excited about your spring game, right? Your A team against your B. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's something, hey, they look sharp. They look good. They're moving the ball well. They're gelling. You know, it obviously, you're going to have to see what it is against
a real opponent, D1 opponents. Yeah,
real opponent. Trying to be nice here.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you know, they're an opponent.
A opponent at their same classification level.
Correct. When do you guys play a real team?
Well, they won't have to wait long. They got Gonzaga and Creighton coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Come on, here we go.
So they will be tested very early this season. All right, phone lines are full. Let's get to it. It is time to play. Real or fake?
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
Real or fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
All right. Again, we got the Aztecs basketball season opener tickets up for grab. It's November 7th at Viejas Arena. One winner from this week in all of our games of Take on Woods and Real or Fake will win. I think we only have one qualifier, so you can have maybe a 50-50 chance. We're going to go with Dustin today as our contestant. Good morning, Dustin. How are you?
Good. Driving to work. How you guys doing?
All right, good. All right, let's see if we can get you a chance to win some Aztecs tickets. You need 4 out of 7 right in Real or Fake. Feel free to use Woodsy to help you. Today on Real or Fake, we're testing your knowledge of the most popular candy on the market.
Oh, you've come to the right place.
Two great tastes that taste great together, chocolate and peanut butter. Of course, I'm talking about Reese's. But the Reese's Company, now a subsidiary of Hershey's, makes much more than just the original Reese's peanut butter cups. Today on Real or Fake, I will give you a name. You tell me if it's a real product from the Reese's Company or a fake I have made up for today's game. Got it, Dustin?
Got it.
All right, here we go. Round number one. Real or fake? Reese's dipped pretzels. Real or fake, Dustin?
Real.
Oh, yeah.
Real. That is one.
Delicious.
Easy. All right, let's go to round number two.
Sound incredible.
They're amazing.
Reese's popcorn. Real or fake, Dustin?
I'm going to need some help with this one.
It's real, bro. It's real.
Wood says real. What do you say?
I'll go with it.
Woods, you know your candy. I'm impressed. All right, that's 2 for 2. We are rolling. All right, let's try Reese's Big Cup with potato chips. Real or fake, Dustin?
Oh, that's real.
That's real.
Oh, you guys are good. All right, that's 3 in a row. Can we make it a clean sweep here?
Huh? Yeah.
Round number 4. Reese's plant-based peanut butter cups. Real or fake, Dustin?
Oh, man. Do I got more help?
Yeah, you got more help. It's fake.
Dustin, yep, for the win. He goes with it. Fake.
Sweet.
No! No, it's real. You can get your plant-based peanut butter cups if you'd like. All right,
gross.
That's all right. It's one miss. No need to worry about it.
All right,
it's like the Yankees got the one win.
Yeah,
it's still gentleman, the gentleman's sweep here. All right, here we go. Reese's almond butter cups. Real or fake, Dustin?
I'm going to go with real.
I'm going to say fake.
Real. No, it's fake.
He's, I was right.
Woods was right. Dustin's wrong. All right,
now we're
on to game 6 now.
Garrett Cole just shut us down here. We've got to get it together.
All right, here we go. Reese's Outrageous Candy Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Real or fake?
Real.
That's real. That's delicious.
Oh, wait, no.
Okay.
They actually have both a Nutrageous and an Outrageous. What a weirder combination. I don't. What's the difference between Nutrageous and Outrageous?
I like the Nutrageous ones. They're delicious.
And then for our allergy-conscious fans, our peanut-free Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Fake.
Fake.
It'd be tough to do.
It'd be very tough
very
to
tough
do.
Very tough to do.
Dustin, congratulations. You have won today's game. We'll put you into the drawing for the Aztecs ticket. Stay on the line. Paulie will get your information during our break, but good luck to you. You're at the 50-50 chance right now to win the Aztecs tickets tomorrow.
Okay.
Woods, you ready for some Halloween don't do this coming up next?
Sure.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good.
I've got a I got an update to I like to do the updates because there was a really sweet update that we can do and do this.
Oh, yeah. I like that one, too.
I like
too.
It a lot.
All right. We will get to that when we come back with Bennett Woods after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you.
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Our longest running segment on Ben and Woods. Don't do this. Couple of stories from the world of sports that make you shake your head, and I will let Woods start with what, the traditional post-championship don't do this story.
Oh, man, it's never a good thing. Guys, it's just a game. I want to win a World Series in San Diego so bad, but I hope there's no scenes that are going on or went on last night late in downtown Los Angeles. Benny, they had there's fires. They set a Metro bus on fire. There was looting of a Nike store, clashes with police. to see this bus on fire is just insane. It is insanity going on right now. And they have announced their World Series parade is tomorrow at 11 a.m. What do you guys think about that time, by the way? Is that the right time?
It's normal.
Normal time?
Yeah.
Very normal.
Friday, 11?
Yep. That is usually when they're done.
It's actually, I couldn't be a better Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
And you don't want to do it during like rush hour.
Yeah,
anything.
Do it at 5.
So, yeah.
It's not like they won the championship on a Friday night and we're like, hey, it's going to be a
two weeks from now. Yeah.
It's become almost unavoidable that there's going to be some bad behavior in celebrations after the fact, some sort of looting, rioting, property destruction.
That sucks, kind of.
And I don't know if there is a way to avoid it. I do have a suggestion, an idea. You know how they have those rage rooms now where you can go and pay a fee and smash a television with a bat and they get old junk and you just... Is it possible for a city to create, like, right at the end of a championship, you have, like, an empty lot somewhere downtown, you have, like, old buses and stuff, and you go, like, Go ahead. Smash the windows. Yeah. Light things on fire. Just keep it within this, chain link fence.
The parking lot of SoFi Stadium
area.
Or something.
Yeah, we're going to have a rage room for all of you people who can't celebrate responsibly and must destroy something in order to express your joy that your team just won a championship.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, unless you banned alcohol, I think would be the only way to even mitigate some of the damage. And I don't think they're going to do that. I think they make too much money from selling alcohol. And even then, I mean, I think you'd still see this. It's an unfortunate part of sports. I mean, like in Philly, they have to put actual grease on poles so that people don't climb. The top of the pole.
I still don't totally get that.
They climb up to the top of the pole.
Are they worried that the people are going to fall?
Yes, of course, and rip the lights down.
I mean, is
everything.
That,
Now, it's natural selection.
Natural
I get it.
Natural selection.
It is, but
you
also
climb to top of a pole and fall off of it while celebrating. Then...
I'll tell you, man, and if the pods ever do win one, I think I want to be as close to my house as I, and I'm pretty much that way anyway, but I think I want to be as close to my home.
Yeah, I don't know that we're immune to this phenomenon. We never get a chance to test it. But
no, we never get a chance to test it. We've never gotten the chance to test it. I think if they did win, I would haul ass out of the stadium so fast it makes their head spin.
Hope
dude.
They win on the road.
Yeah, hope they win on the road.
Because if it's a home game, we're going to be there.
Dodgers won on the road and didn't stop anything.
That's true. They won on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. No, but I mean, just for us,
just
personally.
Not being there.
Don't have to be there because
we'll be hopefully on the road.
If it happened at Petco Park, game's over. You're trying to leave the stadium, like the gas lamp. I don't know if the city infrastructure can handle it.
You think did Chicago go nuts when the Cubs won? I feel like they went nuts, but I don't know if I need to go look it up. I don't want to speak out of school,
but that's a long
the Red Sox 86 years of frustration or whatever 1918. I mean, I'm sure there's some steam to blow off. And we still got 30 years till we hit Red Sox peak and Cubs peak, right? Yeah. So hopefully we're around for it.
The
go ahead,
Philly
Ben.
Light poles, though, I can't wait when we go to Philly in June to make Ben try to climb
light
pole.
Yeah, I want
to
see.
How far. Get about 3 inches up.
See how far. Pauly, please remember this in July. We'll see how far he can get up one of those poles. We'll place wagers. We'll let the tier ones bet.
That will be
just sliding down. He gets all the way to the top, climbs up there like a spider monkey. Oh, I can't wait for this.
All right. This story kind of flew under the radar a little bit, but I can't believe, I honestly can't believe how dumb this sounds. So this year in college football is the first time that they have done what NFL teams have been doing for years, where you have helmet communications. Coaches can signal in plays to the quarterback or the defensive captain so they can then relay it to their teammates. This is the first time they're doing it in all the Power Four conferences. And, it seems like it's been working just fine through the first half of the season until we found out yesterday in a report from Texas Tech's athletic director that apparently these helmet communications have been unencrypted on open channels.
Oh my God.
Which you're going, well, who can, I mean, it's still on a radio, who can hear it? And I promise you, these are college campuses. Every single college in college football has an engineering department with a scanner and people who are more than intelligent enough to very quickly intercept the opposing team's unencrypted signals from their coaches to their quarterback. I mean, the fact that this was not immediately addressed when they first implemented this system is almost, it's mind-boggling. I promise you, the NFL's helmet-to-helmet communications are encrypted, and there's no way to, you know, easily intercept the signals. Anyone with a scanner and a knowledge of how to do it could be finding the right frequency and listening to the coach sending in the plays in college football all season long. After this is 1 year after the Michigan sign-stealing scandal, the, you know, complex ways that a team will go to try to get an advantage on their opponent. This would actually be a really simple way a team could just listen in and know every play.
I ride 47-26. All right. Hey, coach, I'm going to run I ride 47-26. Like it's not, it's not even cheating per se. I mean, it's out there. That information's out there in the ether. All you had to do is grab it.
So apparently they're going to try to address it with some software updates and upgrades from the company that provides the communication systems and try to get them all,
all
encrypted as soon as possible.
All colleges? This is every...
All Power 4. Well, it's only in Power 4 teams. I think the Aztecs have used it as well, though. Yeah, they, apparently the system that they've been getting from the NCAA is just open to everybody.
You know, I'm thinking about signs and stuff. Like, playing baseball, Paul, you played a long time. Signs were always, like, it's nerve-wracking. You know, it really is. And we talked to Flan about it, Tim Flannery, who was the, many championship-winning third base coach for the Giants. He had to dumb it down for these guys so much. He said, sometimes I would walk towards them. That meant bunt. I would back away from them. That meant take. You know
have
what I mean?
Like, have you ever had to, like, really give, fast signs?
No.
Not just to, like, dude,
no.
I did it when I coached high school baseball.
Terrible.
And, like, I had to stand in front of a mirror.
And practice
because you just, like, kind of start doing the same thing over and over again. You're like, I gotta mix it up. Like,
well,
you gotta make this
my coach
look.
Has always used the indicator.
Yeah, of course.
Where
the belt.
The belt, and then whatever's after the belt is that.
Touch my cap, it's off.
Right. It's a nightmare. Football has always confused me to no end. You have four guys standing, they have big signs on them, and you're like, there's one of them where it's the right way, but football's a lot. It's a lot. I don't think we give them enough credit for how difficult getting 11 guys.
Tua.
I got to see it in person. Speaking of college football sign stealing, when I went to the Aztecs game on Saturday, you see what Sean Lewis does? He has two guys with, like, screens who, like, stand behind him the entire game, and anytime he's signaling in a play, they, like, wrap him up like a phone booth, like, so no one can see above him or behind him, like, if they've got binoculars or anything. It's a kind of paranoid and obsessive, and you can still see, like, across the field what he's doing, so it's not like you can hide him completely, but these two guys have these, like, screens, and they walk behind the coach the entire game, and anytime he's about to signal, they unfold the screens and then put him up like he's in, like, some sort of phone booth.
It's incredible.
It's really odd to see.
It's incredible. All right, we got to do this. It's been
DD Mega Doo Doo.
We told you earlier in the week about Mike Leslie from WFAA in Dallas, here in Dallas. And he had tweeted something about Trayvon Diggs, and what it basically said, what was Trayvon Diggs doing on this play? After the Cowboys lose, Trayvon Diggs in full uniform seeks out Mike Leslie, walks up to him and says, that's what you got from that play? That's what you got from that play? Mike says, answer the question. You want to answer the question? I'm just curious. And he said, let's talk about these nuts, as he walked away. And Mike Leslie was like, oh, okay, great. Well, Trayvon Diggs slept on it for 48 hours. He did do a podcast talking about it. But he decided that taking the high road was probably the best move. And I really liked this from Trayvon Diggs. He went and met with Mike Leslie from WFAA. He says he let his emotions get the best of him. And he gave him a gift, Ben. He gave him a gift of ranch-flavored
nuts.
D's nuts. And he handed him a canister of D's nuts.
The brand is D's.
D's nuts.
It wasn't the Dietz and Watson.
No, remember Dietz nuts?
Yeah,
it was the D's nuts, and he gave him a gift, and they have a cool. There's a great picture of them, like, shaking hands and him handing him the.
It's a really good move, though.
Yeah, it is
by Diggs, because I promise you that reporter, at the very least, will now always treat him fairly. Not that he wouldn't have otherwise, but it's like, okay, you know what? Everyone at the emotional loss of a game can react that way.
Sure.
You come back and you go, you know, sorry about that. I definitely overreacted to your question. Water under the bridge, you know, going forward. It was a nice move there.
Yeah, very nice move. Class move.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Halloween Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, when we come back, it's been a while. Our friend Craig Calcaterra, a Cup of Coffee baseball newsletter, baseball writer, going to join us to wrap up what he saw from the World Series and the Dodgers Championship Game 5 last night. That's coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. That was a weird World Series. It's just, I think there's no other way to describe it. It was weird.
I can't tell if it, I mean, I know, you know, obviously we don't like the result, but there were a couple of instant classic games.
Of course.
You know, and so it's like, did this take the result out of it? Was this a disappointing World Series because it didn't go 6 or 7? I think, yeah. I think the answer is unequivocally yes. You'd like to see it go 6 or 7.
It was not in any way what it was built up to be.
But when it was good, it was elite. I mean, it was like things you've never seen before. You know, I mean, just insanity abounded at the World Series.
We got Craig Calcaterra standing by, Cup of Coffee baseball newsletter. He is going to join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, joining us right now is Craig Calcaterra, who has covered baseball, you know, nationally for some of the big outlets. Now does it on his own. I respect that. His own Cup of Coffee newsletter, which I'd imagine, like, the day after the World Series, tough to drum up new subscribers until maybe spring training hits. So I don't know how much advertising, Craig, you're going to be able to do, but we do appreciate you coming on this morning with us here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. How have you been?
I've been great. How are you?
We're doing well, man. And Calcaterra is like me. When the playoffs get here, it's his time to shine on Twitter. I mean, you don't get paid for Twitter. I don't get paid for Twitter. I think we're both making a horrific mistake because, I mean, it's like you were on fire. I felt like I was on fire, and I really enjoyed following along, watching the World Series with you, which is the best part of that social media platform with all of its challenges, certainly.
It's like any addiction, right? It has its highs. Let's not pretend it doesn't.
Absolutely, man. Like, the hangover's pretty bad, but in the moment, you're like, oh, this is great. I'm on fire. I got that little dopamine hit. But, man, that was, what is your kind of take? I mean, it was billed as, and I billed it as, you know, this is Ali Frazier. This is going to be absolutely insane. It ended up looking more like a Butterbean versus my co-host World Series in 5.
It was Tyson Holyfield the first time.
The first time, yeah.
The Yankees should be up 3-2 right now.
Right.
That's what really should be happening. They should have won game one, and Aaron Boone made a mistake, and then they shouldn't have, you know, booted the ball all over the field in the top of the fifth inning last night, and we would have a very different series. But, yeah, you're right. It was kind of sloppy. It was, you know, there were 16 walks last night.
Oh.
And now a lot of that was because these guys were just completely gassed and their arms were like, you know, shredded chickpea pasta or something like that. It was just not good. But we did have moments, right? There was like a lot of fun back and forth, and things can be ugly and still be entertaining. And I think that's kind of where this series landed.
The Dodgers, you know, I picked them to win because of the depth of their offense and their lineup. And they had so many different ways to score, and we saw that. But no one could have predicted what happened in the fifth inning last night. As you wrote, if any one of the plays that are usually made in Major League Baseball 99% of the time, if any one of those three plays are made, Craig, the Yankees or the Dodgers probably don't score any runs. And this series is headed back to Los Angeles. I mean, that may be one of the worst playoff innings we've ever seen in baseball. I can't really think of one to compare with it.
I can't either.
No, you know, the gold standard for me, at least in recent years, and when I say recent, I say like the last 30 years or something, was in 1996 when Mark Wohlers decided to go away from his best pitch and give Jim Leyritz the big meatball, and that turned the World Series in the Yankees' favor that year after the Braves had been up 2-0. But this was, you know, three of those. And each one individually, I almost get, right? I mean, Aaron Judge's was probably the least defensible in that, You know, he was looking at the runner and just completely missed a catchable ball. I know everybody wants to get on Gerrit Cole for not covering first base, but as I forget who it was, it was, you know, one of the former players that said on Twitter or during the broadcast last night or something that, you know, 99 times out of 100, Rizzo does take that play himself, and Cole just anticipated. That was more of a mental error than anything else. But, yeah, it was just uncanny. It was the wheels falling off. I was literally 30 seconds away from switching away from the game and doing something else when that inning began, and glad I didn't.
Yeah, no question, man. It was one of the, we had the group text going on, and you make your plans for the next day's show, and you know, this is going to be great. It's going to at least go back to LA for sure, and then we'll talk about it Monday, and we'll have a whole slate of things to talk about. And then when it, man, we've seen it too many times this postseason, Craig, when it starts to get away, and you watch the Dodgers and their uncanny ability to just keep scrapping. Let me ask you this about the Yankees, because there, I feel like the ramifications, like there's a really good possibility that they lose Juan Soto now. Gleyber Torres is a free agent. And if I'm the Yankees, and I watched how Gleyber played very sloppily, like very, very sloppily from game one to game five, the ramifications, Aaron Boone, does he come back? You know, like all of these, do you think there'll be sweeping changes in New York?
No, I don't, and I think that's pretty damning for the New York Yankees, because they're a team. Like, look, everybody gets sick of the, oh, Yankees are exceptional and nothing short of a championship is success. We know that's a lot of eye-rolly kind of stuff, but it's also sort of true with that team. But over the last, you know, decade or so, they seem pretty content to just kind of do status quo, good enough is good enough. And there was a report late last night after the game that Boone is going to come back next year, and he will probably get a contract extension fairly soon because he'll be a lame duck next year. They have an option on him.
Yeah.
And it seems all signs point to him coming back. You know, the two big problems that we talked about, the going with Nestor Cortez in game one to face Freddie Freeman, and then the fundamental errors that happened yesterday, those are normally things that get attributed to managers. In New York, apparently that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, it used to be 5 minutes they're going to change a manager. Now Aaron Boone's going to go into his eighth season with a team that is not fundamentally sound. How much is Torres's problem that you mentioned because of coaching and because of just organizational rot as far as developing players? I think we've seen a lot of that, and it's a really harrowing time to be a Yankees fan when you're sort of accustomed to excellence.
Well, and think about the Jazz Chisholm tag to second with two outs, Soto tagging from third. Of course, it's a fly ball, but him tagging, Jazz has to make that 100% of the time. If he gets thrown out there, Soto doesn't score. They don't get that run. I mean, it was like
Soto was hustling.
He was hustling
to try to make sure he made it, but you can't guarantee that.
But you can't guarantee that. Like, that's stuff that you know, I try to teach my 7 and 8 year olds, Craig. Like, it's just crazy how sloppy they played. I mean, and really in every single game.
Yeah, it was terrible. And, you know, it worked. You know, the fact that Chisholm came in worked, but you're on Twitter all the time like I am, and you look at every single Yankees beat writer who has watched this team for 170 some odd games or whatever, all of them were like, boy, they lucked out there, because they knew, they've seen that over and over this year and over the past couple of years.
Talking to Craig Calcaterra, a baseball writer, Cup of Coffee newsletter, free on Thursdays, by the way. If you want to check it out today, you can do so. Craig, from our San Diego perspective, Shohei Ohtani made a bargain with the devil. And I understand it. After playing with the Angels as long as he did and not going to the playoffs, he wanted a chance to play for a title. So he not only signed with the Dodgers, he deferred a massive amount of money to ensure that the Dodgers would be able to build around him. And he got it. He got in his first season a World Series ring. But in the old deal with the devil, there's always a price to be paid. And I wonder, given his playoff performance, and obviously the injury probably had something to do with it, is there any lingering questions here for Shohei coming out of this World Series that he had absolutely nothing to do with the Dodgers winning, at least against the Yankees?
You know, I'm sure there's some self-motivation there that, you know, he's not the sort of player that's going to, you know, go on some interview and talk about all of his doubts and things. But I'm sure there's something about him that is probably bothering me a little bit, that he really didn't contribute. But again, yeah, the injury was the thing. You watched him swing the bat. He was wincing every single time. He had low over the plate 92 mile per hour pitches that he would normally hit 500 feet that he couldn't barely get out of the infield. The guy is hurt. Even last night when he was putting on his t-shirt, the world championship t-shirt after the game, like the MLB Twitter account posted a little video of him putting the t-shirt on. He's visibly wincing, pulling a t-shirt on over his head. So yeah, the injury is definitely a thing. I think he has two things to prove to himself. He doesn't have to prove it to anybody else because the guy is, you know, amazing.
Yeah,
but
Shohei.
He has to prove that he can pitch again because I'm sure he wants to come back next year and pitch again. And then he has to be a bigger part of the next Dodgers championship, which, you know what, there probably is going to be one.
You know, it's funny. We're experts at seeing wincing swings because we've seen maybe 10,000 of them in the last couple of years between Tatis, yeah. Machado, Arraez.
Yes.
I mean, it feels like every time a Padre goes to the plate and swings the bat, there's a giant wince involved, which is, I mean, they're gamers. I'm glad to see them out there, but it would be nice to see healthy swings rather than the constant wincing at the plate.
I'd be curious to know what kind of latitude Dave Roberts actually had to either pinch hit or bench Ohtani. You know, I bet you that's a decision that isn't necessarily 100% his, even if everybody says it is.
Talking to Craig Calcaterra here on Ben and Woods this morning. And yeah, you know, looking forward, I had told our producer, Paulie, last week or so, I said, look, you know, Ben made the point, hey, it's really hard to repeat as world champions these days. And it is. And there's the facts. It's just nobody's done it since the Yankees, you know, back in the 90s and in early 2000s. And so you look at it now, though, and you go, yeah, they're set up for another one. They got this. Yeah, I called it this morning. They got this Mickey off their back. They went out. They won a full season championship. They're getting stronger. I fear it may be, you know, one of those five in the next 10 years, which will be excruciating for Padres fans. But how does baseball react? How does baseball keep up with what the Dodgers are going to do?
I think baseball just needs to not overreact. I mean, I just said that I think they'll win another one, and I don't think you should bet against them. But at the same time, let's not overstate what's happened here. For much of the season, they were kind of a mess. Not, you know, relatively
mess for
a contender. Everybody expected 110 wins or something, and they didn't get that. I think the bigger question for the Dodgers, and this is more of a inside LA baseball sort of a thing, is they've got a real big problem with developing pitchers and keeping them healthy. There is something wrong with the way they train pitchers or coach pitchers that is having all these guys just get completely broken. And only against an Aaron Boone coach team could the Dodgers have gotten away with having basically one starting pitcher this postseason.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big problem for them going forward. You can't get through 7 months of baseball with two pitchers and duct tape.
They shouldn't have gotten away with it against the Padres.
No, they shouldn't have.
You know, our cross to bear in San Diego that they had them on the ropes and let them go there, Craig.
24 innings.
Don't know how much thought you've put into our team, you know, in the last couple of weeks and what their future looks like. But we have a lot of questions here in San Diego, and I'm curious to just kind of get your thoughts on where you think the Padres now head coming off a really good season, but with a lot of question marks going forward as well.
I think they're in good position. I mean, the free agency this year is going to be interesting because you've got that problem of like, oh God, a guy over 30 just had his career season. Now do we give him $10 million in Profar?
Yeah.
I think you bring him back because he likes it and he tends to do well there. But, you know, you got to answer questions like that. And maybe the newer owners and the control people don't make the same decisions that the previous one did. And it's hard to say, but you know, the Padres have a lot of talent. I think you have to understand just, you know, what you have in Jackson Merrill is amazing. You know, Tatis is only still, what, 25, 26 now.
Yep.
It's a good future for San Diego. I think what we saw from San Diego down the stretch and even in their good postseason run is closer to the real San Diego Padres than maybe what the Dodgers are doing right now is closer to the Dodgers' true level. So I would not hang your head at all if you're a Padres fan. I think the future looks pretty bright.
That's good to know, Craig. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, buddy.
Fun to have you here on the day after the World Series, and wish you the best of luck. You do keep writing during the offseason as well, if I'm not mistaken. You don't go into hibernation, so people can continue to check out the Cup of Coffee newsletter.
5 days a week, all year round.
Wow. Look at you. What a grinder.
Impressive.
Appreciate
impressive.
You, buddy.
Well, we do the same thing in the offseason as well.
That's true.
Take care, Craig.
Thanks a lot.
Craig Calcaterra, Cup of Coffee newsletter. And he'll have all the offseason news as well It is funny how unpanicked about the Padres people outside of San Diego in baseball tend to be. Like, they look at the Padres and they see a team that's pretty well set up with good players and in good shape for the future. Yet sometimes I feel like we have trouble seeing it here.
Of course, man. We're in it. We're too close. Yeah. And you get that death spiral.
The sting of it is just always going to be, you feel like this was your best chance.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to live that way. Like, I'm never going to have it. Like, if you can't go into your life going, I'm never going to have a better year than I did when I was 22. I had the best. I had my summer of 22. is up. It was elite. But things change. I'm so glad that that's not the high point of my life, right? And I don't think as a fan, you can, but it's certainly not a great place to be at mentally or physically thinking, well, that's it. That's it.
I know what you're saying, Paul, because I agree. This was the Padres' best chance. And
that we've seen so far.
This was also the Dodgers' worst chance to win a World Series in the last several years.
They did it.
And they won. Yeah. And it was, I think, by far, the least likely Dodgers team,
no question,
in the last 4 years to win a World Series.
There's no question.
They were much more likely to win in 21, 22, and 23. And here it is in 24. They actually get it done.
Yes, buddy.
So, hope springs eternal. We will come back with more Halloween Ben and Woods on the way next year on 97.3 The Fan.